for 21-1868, Jeffrey versus McDonough. Mr. DeHakla.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. On behalf of Mr. Jeffrey, I first want to thank the court for this opportunity to present his appeal. This case is really quite simple and asks the court to decide what happens when the VA awards a benefit. More specifically, what are a claimant's options with respect to his appeal rights when the VA awards that benefit? We emphasize that by correctly applying Section 5109A and this court's holding in Perkle, Mr. Jeffrey is made whole, and this court need not address or reach any of the other issues or arguments presented. The Veterans Court erroneously held that because the VA assigned an effective date using clear and unmistakable error, the ratings assigned are forever insulated from review. This cannot be right. Before the RO revised its prior decision and adjusted the effective date of Mr. Jeffrey's compensation award to begin in 2006, Mr. Jeffrey was not entitled to, nor did he ever receive any compensation for that time period from 2006 to 2009. The law, properly understood, quite sensibly does not force Mr. Jeffrey into the last resort of seeking Q relief just to review an entirely new, non-final determination. The Veterans Court and the government in their briefing seem to misunderstand what actually happened in 2015 when VA revised the 2010 decision on the basis of clear and unmistakable error. When the RO found a clear and unmistakable error and awarded compensation for his lumbar spine effective from 2006, again, VA awarded a new benefit with new ratings from 2006. Clear and unmistakable error is limited to reversing or revising only final decisions by the AOJ or the board. Here, the VA never adjudicated entitlement to compensation from 2006 to 2009 for his lumbar spine until the 2015 AOJ decision. Even more compelling, the statute that directs that the 2015 decision has, in quoting 5109A, subsection.
Mr. Joachim?
Yes, Your Honor.
So I understand, when Mr. Jeffrey was awarded a 2006 effective date for his claim, was there anything about the change in effective date for his benefits that somehow logically could be said to have impacted the outcome of his rating? I mean, is there a nexus between changing an effective date and then the possibility of impacting the rating percentage in this case?
In this case, not necessarily, Your Honor. As opposed to affecting what the severity of his condition is, the adjustment of the effective date required the VA to make a new award for that new time period, and that's what he appealed. He appealed the initial rating, and on page.
I just wanted to confirm that from your side's view, there really isn't any kind of nexus, any kind of connection between the changing of the effective date and the possible rating for a particular injury.
No, not necessarily, Your Honor, but I think that
you say not necessarily, and I think the answer is just no. At least there's nothing in this record that would suggest that now that the rating is effective as of 2006, in fact, that benefit of being granted an earlier effective date somehow now impacts what the rating could have or should have been. That seems like an independent, separate inquiry that relates to other facts that are unrelated to the assignment of an effective date.
And
are you going to say not necessarily again, or are you going to agree?
Well, to clarify, Your Honor, I think that in reading the Secretary or the government's brief, They are focusing on the rating assigned in the 2010 decision. And so when you look at what rating was assigned in 2010, then the adjustment of the effective date there's no connection or nexus, as you describe it, to that decision. But when they adjust the rating back to 2006, the VA is required not only to determine the proper effective date, but under 5110, 38 USC 5110, also review on a facts found basis what is the severity.
So your argument is that automatically when they set aside the effective date on ground of Q, that opens up the whole decision and they have to now make a new rating determination.
Yes, Your Honor. And that's what the statute requires. And the portion of PERCL, which talked about putting the veteran in the same situation as if the correct decision had been made. And the statute, again, and quoting here, the decision has the same effect if the decision had been made on the date of the prior decision. So we're not just adjusting the effective date and fixing that. The VA is required to tell us now, by looking at the evidence that existed between 2006 and, in this case, 2009, how severe was his lumbar spine, because they had never told him that yet. All that the VA had made a determination of was, beginning in 2009, this is how severe your disability, your lumbar spine disability is. So in order to correctly revise the decision, they must not only adjust the effective date, but also tell us this is the severity of your condition. And it's that second part of that determination that Mr. Jeffrey appealed to the board when he said your 10% is too low from 2006, and you should also assign an award for my radiculopathy. So again, once the VA revised the prior decision with respect to the award of compensation for the lumbar spine, that 2010 decision is no more and was replaced by the 2015 revision. The Veterans Court overlooked the subsection B of 5109A that directs the decision, essentially replaces the prior decision that was done in error. This means that the entire decision and not just one aspect is appealable. And in PERCL, this court emphasized the importance of 5109AB, that a decision that revises, quote, has the same effect as if the decision had been made, and highlighted that it had quoted that subsection three times in its prior ruling in PERCL 1. The key point this court noted was that the board's finding of Q changed the factual and legal background of the entitlement to benefits. A big portion of that change in factual and legal background was that the VA made a new determination and made a new award of benefits for his lumbar spine disability from 2006 to 2009. What the Veterans Court overlooks is that prior to 2015, the RO, again, had never awarded any benefits for the spinal disability that covered the time period from 2006 to 2009. And contrary to the government's argument, Mr. Jeffrey never asked the VA to reverse, revise, or otherwise review any rating assigned in the 2010 rating decision. Rather, he only asked the VA to review the 10% rating assigned beginning in 2006. And the assignment of that rating did not happen until the RO correctly applied 3.156C in their 2015 decision. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but I do want to emphasize that the 2010 RO decision never considered or adjudicated the amount of compensation available for the lumbar spine from 2006. The first time that this benefit was awarded was in 2015, and this award came with all the legal rights to challenge that determination under 7105. And that statute permits the claimant to appeal any specific determination upon receipt of notice. So we ask this court to find that the Veterans Court erred in its decision to, that Mr. Jeffrey is not permitted to appeal the 10% rating assigned in the 2015 RO decision. The Veterans Court misapplied 5109A and misread Perkle by failing to recognize that the 2015 decision essentially replaced the 2010 AOJ decision with respect to the lumbar spine claim. And the correct application of 5109A and Perkle means that when VA awarded a 10% rating from 2006, this represented the very first time that determination was made. Therefore, Mr. Jeffrey is permitted to directly appeal this determination and is not limited to showing Q.
Okay, thank you, Mr. DeHaffres. Mr. Carhart.
May it please the court. I will begin with the issue that my colleague on the other side focused on. So VA does not dispute in principle the idea that the 2015 RO decision decided for the first time to grant Mr. Jeffrey benefits between 2006 and 2009. It also impliedly concluded that he was entitled to a 10% rating for that 2006 to 2009 period, extending back the, as the effective date was extended back, so too was the rating evaluation determination. We also don't dispute that that Mr. Jeffrey was permitted to directly appeal the 2015 RO decision to the extent that it addressed this new issue of benefits entitlement between 2006 and 2009. We would understand that really to be an argument that he was entitled to a staged rating, that there was some difference between his symptomology between 2009 and 2010, which had already been adjudicated by the 2010 RO decision on one hand, and his symptoms between 2006 and 2009, which were adjudicated in the first instance by the 2015 RO decision. That argument would point to some factual difference in the evidence related to Mr. Jeffrey's condition between 2009 and 2010 on one hand, and 2006 and 2009 on the other hand. But that's not the argument that Mr. Jeffrey has pursued in this case. He instead raised a Q claim before the board. He identified in his notice of disagreement, his only disagreement was with the 2015 RO decision's adjudication of his Q claim. That's at Appendix 43, the notice of disagreement. And he says that the 2015 RO decision didn't consider his Q claim with respect to his rating evaluation, which would naturally refer to his arguments that the 2010 RO decision made some sort of clear and unmistakable error. So the argument we're making is that this issue wasn't before the board, this direct appeal wasn't before the board, and there's no evidence in the record suggesting that there was some difference between Mr. Jeffrey's symptoms between 2006 and 2009 on one hand and 2009 and 2010 on the other hand. At no point in this proceeding, including before this court, as far as I can tell, has he developed any argument along those lines. He also hasn't pointed to any evidence that wasn't considered by the 2010 RO decision that's relevant to this issue that, given the chance to relitigate the 2006-2009 period, that he would present to the VA. So our position would be that the issue wasn't raised below, and Mr. Jeffrey hasn't established any prejudicial error with respect to the stage rating, with respect to the availability of the stage rating. With respect to the availability of a stage rating itself, this court's addressed that in the Reisenstein decision and described it as a matter of VA policy rather than a rule of law that depends upon the facts that are found by the VA. So ultimately, this is a fact issue, and Mr. Jeffrey just hasn't established the factual predicate at any point in this case for that argument. Now, with respect to his argument that this case is governed by Perkel, we disagree with that for some of the reasons that Judge Chen's questions seem to be getting at, which is the lack of a logical connection between the effective date error and the rating evaluation determination. Our position is that Perkel was addressing unusual facts where the court thought that the remedy of ordering the VA to consider as a remedy what effect one error had on another was necessary to put the claimant in the same position that she would have been but for the error. And our brief goes into why our position is that Perkel is distinguishable and not and doesn't control here. So that's for those reasons, we don't think that even under this sort of more limited argument that that Mr. Jeffrey is entitled to an adjudication with respect to the 2006-2009 period, we don't think he's entitled to relief on those grounds. If the court doesn't have any other questions on that point, I will move briefly into our reconsideration, our response to his reconsideration argument, which I didn't understand Mr. Jeffrey's counsel to have addressed in his opening argument. But our position is that there's nothing in the record suggesting that the VA failed to carry out its reconsideration obligations here. There was a 2010 RO decision that did reconsider Mr. Jeffrey's claims, gave him benefits that he didn't previously have. There was then a 2015 RO decision that also, gave Mr. Jeffrey benefits that he didn't previously have. And Mr. Jeffrey hasn't pointed to any reason to think or any specific evidence that that the VA failed to reconsider. Typically in a challenge under 3.156 A, B, or C, there's the argument is about whether there's particular evidence that the VA failed to issue a responsive determination with respect to. And in this case, there's nothing along those lines. I just wanted to just make two other points with respect to the reconsideration argument to address issues raised in Mr. Jeffrey's reply brief. One is with respect to our argument that the Veterans Court did not possess jurisdiction to consider a claim other than the Q claim identified in Mr. Jeffrey's notice of disagreement. Mr. Jeffrey's response really focuses on a separate jurisdictional limitation of the Veterans Court, which is that there has to be a decision of the board. But that wasn't the basis for our jurisdictional argument. Our jurisdictional argument related to the limited scope of Mr. Jeffrey's NOD, which was focused only on his Q claim. I also wanted to briefly address his contention that Chenery the decision in Chenery affects the scope of the veteran or this court's review. We would contend that it doesn't. With respect to his reconsideration argument, really what we're maintaining is that there's no evidence in the record to support his argument. So we're not asking the court to weigh any facts or any evidence on different sides and conduct any impermissible fact finding. We're just asking the court to recognize the lack of evidence that supports that any argument that the VA failed to reconsider under 3.156C. If the court doesn't have any further questions, we ask that the court affirm the Veterans Court's decision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carhart. Mr. DeHakas, you have a couple minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I want to start my rebuttal by addressing the Secretary's seem to be conflicting statements that they acknowledge that Mr. Jeffrey is entitled to directly appeal the assigned rating in 2006, but that he didn't and instead asked to find Q in that 10% rating. And I would submit that the law cannot read a disagreement to raise a Q allegation when Q is not available. A Q decision is available only in a revision based on Q is available only in a final decision which has not been appealed. If a disagreement is raised with respect to a determination in his notice of disagreement, which he did, then the law should read that, and the board should have sympathetically read it to require to raise a direct appeal under 7105 as opposed to a Q under 5109A. It makes no legal or logical sense why the board would impose upon the veteran a much more stringent standard of showing Q when a direct appeal is available. And in addition to that, by asserting his disagreement with the assigned rating, again, sympathetically viewing that as the board is required to do, particularly under its regulations in for the substantive appeals, that the board must identify any reasonably raised issue. And when a direct appeal is available, then the board is required as a matter of law to read that as an appeal of the assigned rating as opposed to a finding of Q. The secretary asserts also that never at this court or at the Veterans Court pointed to any evidence that would have required a different rating. We submit that that's not necessary. The issue before the Veterans Court and now here is what is the proper legal standard for the board's review of his disagreement. And until the proper legal standard is determined and the board applies that, what the evidence shows, we don't know, because the board didn't review it under a benefit of the doubt standard. They reviewed it under a clear and unmistakable error standard. And lastly, to address the Secretary's statements about Perkle and their contention that it does not apply here, we have never argued that the 2015 decision should, which found Q, should affect any subsequent decision as it did in Perkle. Those facts, as they say, were quite unique to that situation. However, Perkle applies because it recognizes that the 2015 RO decision replaced the erroneous 2010 decision, granted a new benefit, made a new determination with a new right to appeal under 7105. That, again, as we started our argument today, and we'll end it with that, that is really the heart of this issue, is what happens when the board or the regional office revises a prior decision with respect to their ability to appeal those determinations which grant a benefit for the very first time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hawkins. Thank you, Mr. Carhart. The case is submitted.